Well, all right. Good morning. Is that that service video? Is that intense or what? Hey, welcome to Gateway. We are so glad that you're here today, whether you're here in person or online. I am so happy to see you guys. And we are starting a series today called Christ Culture Church, where we talk about the culture around us and how did Christ deal with it? What is the church's roles and responsibilities? How are we supposed to do, you know, what do we do with our hands? So I'm excited about this. It's going to be a lot of fun. I had a good dress rehearsal at the first service, you know, I guess. So this is going to be the real one. You guys got to get ready. But no, I'm excited about this one. But I first wanted to point out the elephant in the room. One of our screens does not work right now. It has been giving us trouble for a while now, but we're on it. We're going to fix it this week, I promise. I don't promise, but I strongly intend to. We'll get it. But don't let that be a distraction today. My prayer is that still through something that's a little different, unless this is your first time, then it's like, oh, they always have only one screen. But something that's a little different, don't let it be a distraction. My prayer is that the Holy Spirit will still speak to each and every one of us, and, you know, we'll get something out of today, okay? So we're starting this series today, Christ Culture Church, and I wanted to start with this term, culture war. There's a culture war that we're in the middle of, and the term culture war was actually coined in the 1920s, and it didn't start in the 1920s, but something that's been going on forever, but what it means is this. It is it's a struggle for dominance of values, beliefs, and practices. So we have groups, you know, we'll just say progressive and conservative, right? Democrat, Republican. I don't know, we don't go that far, but, you know, we have two different groups, right and left, right? They're pushing for the dominance of their beliefs, their values, their practices, right? Because we all know that our beliefs are the best. Our values are the best. What we think, the direction that we think we should go is the best, right? Are we all on the same page? We do this, it's the best. That's why I believe it. Now, when people ask me, hey, what is Gateway's stance on, you name it, whatever issue, right? What is Gateway's stance on this? My response is funny. It's a funny response because Gateway is split down the middle, 50-50, on just about everything. And you're like, well, how can that be? Not just about everything, but a lot of things. We are split down the middle. Did you know? You know, I kind of alluded to it a minute ago, but there are Republicans that go to Gateway. Did you know that there are Democrats that go to Gateway? We believe different things. We have different ways to go about things, right? And that's okay. It's okay. All of the, like, we want to find out how many, is there more Republicans or more Democrats? Because I need to know if I need to leave or not, right? No, it's okay. You know, there are also people, this is going to shock us all, except for this group, people that don't vote at Gateway. They're all online, I think, but no, I'm just kidding. I'm just kidding. We're different. We believe different things. We have different values. We have different beliefs. We have different practices. Okay? But now, one of the things that we want to be very intentional about is the essentials. The essentials, we are united. That is important. And so we're going to look at this church, this ancient church in this place called Corinth in the scriptures. And this Corinth, let me just give you a little bit of background. Corinth is a modern city, like back in the day. It is a huge, modern, roaring metropolis. It's a cool little place, right? There are people there. It's filled with people from different backgrounds, different influences. They worship different things. But it is a big, predominant, prominent city, okay? It was very much like a modern city, containing unending opportunities for the people that were there. Just, you want it? Go grab it. Right? Go do it. If it seems right to you, it's right. If that's your truth, it's okay. Right? Does that sound a whole lot like today, right? This culture war is not a new thing, right? But this was Corinth. It was very modern for their time, right? And people had opportunities to engage in sinful behavior without apparent consequences. And there's the church that Paul has planted in the middle of Corinth. And he writes a letter because he gets letters written to him about some issues that's going on in Corinth. And so he writes back because he can't get there right now, right? So he writes letters back. And what he does not do is say, hey, okay, I need you guys to all leave Corinth. You got to get away from all the bad. You got to get away from all of the sin and the, you know, all the stuff, right? He doesn't say that. He says, listen, I want you to be a Christian and live out your Christian values right there where you are. So he's like, we're in a culture war. And I'm going to tell you a bunch of what this is, this letter that I'm writing you, 1 Corinthians, right? A bunch of what I'm going to tell you is how to win this culture war. And I get asked that all the time. Hey, what are we doing as a church? How are we going to win? Right? How are we going to be the loudest voice, the most prominent, the most influential? How are we going to be the head of everything so that people get to hear the real truth? And my answer is, I don't know that that's our job. Like, there are people who God is calling you to be in those positions, for sure. Go be in those positions. If that's what God is calling you to do, do that. But that's not all of us. We're not all supposed to be loud and obnoxious, if you will. It's not obnoxious. You guys aren't obnoxious. But Paul is providing here instructions to these Christians who are grappling with real life issues, including conflicts of loyalty, class differences, conflicts between personal freedom and the common good. Paul is writing to a group caught right in the middle of a culture war. And I love some of the things that he does here. But he starts swinging. In 1 Corinthians, he says this in chapter 9, verse 19. One of the things that he says is, though I am free, I belong to no one. I made myself a slave to everyone to win as many as possible. I've made myself a slave to everyone to win as many as possible. And what does this mean? Well, back then, there were slaves. You know, we're not so far removed from what that actually means in America. And so they understood, why in the world would you call yourself a slave? Like, this isn't just, you know, oh, I'm serving others. No, this was an extreme example of what he was doing. He says, I'm making myself a slave to everyone so that I can win as many as possible. So what Paul is doing here is he's starting to present his approach to win the war. And you're like, well, I don't know, Paul, if you know what winning means. You know, like, you put yourself under, you serve. You're a slave to those around you, right? But if you look at Scripture, what does Jesus say? Humble yourselves, right? Lift others up. Serve. The first should be last. The last should be first, right? This is what Scripture teaches us, and this is what Paul is teaching them, right? But this is, again, this is shocking language. And so the question is this, is what are you doing to win the war? Looking back at your actions, what are you doing to win the war? Are you trying to win arguments? Are you trying to win over cities or a country? Are you trying to win political issues, win people to your political side? Or, like what Paul said, to win as many as possible, he becomes a slave to everyone. Are you trying to win people? That's the question. How do you win the war? We win people. This is what Christ says. His last thing, his last directive is go make disciples. A disciple is a student of Christ. He didn't say, go make Republicans, go make Democrats, go make conservatives or progressives, or go make people that agree with you. He said, go make disciples, people who are following after, who are learning about, who are living for Jesus Christ. So his last directive to us should be our first priority. And we see this is Paul's singular focus in his life, is to win as many as possible. Verse number 20 in 1 Corinthians chapter 9, it says this, to the Jews I became like a Jew to win the Jews. To those under the law, I became like one under the law, though I myself am not under the law. So I grew up in a place called, from when I was too young to remember to when I started middle school, we were at this church called Faith Baptist Church. And it's a great church, growing church, doing amazing things. People were getting saved there. But I remember what they said at this place from the stage, because I was young, but I still remember this. We are an independent, fundamental, Bible-believing Baptist church. And that is now that I'm older, I can see how that was a little more important sometimes than what Scripture said. We're King James only, which I'm not knocking the King James. King James is amazing. It's great. My mother uses the King James. She prefers the King James. And I ask why. And she says, because I was saved. Somebody was reading the King James. They taught me what it means to be a Christian with the King James Bible. And so she said, I know it works. And so I'm going to use the King James Bible. And I'm like, great. That's good. Good for you. I'm going to read something that I can understand. But if you don't read the King James, you're not a Christian. Like, there was all kinds of the rules and stuff that weren't Scripture, right? And this is what Paul is saying. He's like, listen, to those under the law, I became like those under the law. So when I speak with people who are still at that church, because I still have connections with people at that church, guess what? I speak with them as if I'm under the law. I can relate to those who only use the King James Bible. There is no issue with that. A lot of the verses that I quote, if I just go and quote a verse that I learned when I was young, it's in the King James. There's no problem. And there's nothing wrong with that, right? But this is what Paul is saying here. To the Jews, I became the Jews. To those under the law, I became like the one under the law. He said, I'm not under the law, so as to win as many as possible. To win those under the law. To those not having the law, I became like one not having the law. Hold on, my computer is freaking out right now. Don't touch it. To those not having the law, right? I became like one not having the law. Though I am not free from God's law, but I am under Christ's law. Holy moly, who's controlling my computer right now? Hold on, I got it. All right. To those not under Apple, I'm not under Apple. But he says this. He said, I am not free from God's law. So he says, I can act like those not under the law, but I'm still under Christ's law. He's like, so I can relate to those people, but I don't compromise my values. I don't compromise my beliefs. He says later in Corinthians, he says this. He said, when I speak the gospel, when I preach the gospel, when I teach people about Jesus' sacrifice on the cross, he said, it is going to be divisive. People are going to decide, yes, I believe or no, I don't believe. And he's like, that's their decision. But he said, I'm preaching Christ, but I'm going to do it in a way that relates to them. Because if they don't hear me, what good is it? If they don't hear me, what good is it? Well, I'm just saying words, right? That's why at Gateway Church, our mission statement, invest in and invite people into a growing relationship with Jesus Christ. That's why we exist. And that invest in part is bridge building. And this is exactly what Paul is doing here. So how do we win? Well, through Christ's law, which is, let me remind us, if you've been here for a couple of weeks, you've heard it. Jesus Christ, he says, what's the most important thing? What is the law? What do we need to do? He says, and I think it was in Mark, he says, this is the law. Here's the new law that I give you. To love one another, just as God loved you through Christ on the cross. Love one another just like Jesus did. What did Jesus do? He gave his life for us so that we can spend eternity with him. So love just like Jesus did. So that's why Paul says, I make myself as a slave so that I can win as many as possible. This is what he says. Paul's life is devoted to sharing the love of Jesus with as many people as possible by building bridges. He finds a connection to those who need Jesus. Now, if you visited Gateway Church and met out there in the lobby Matt Hearn, anytime from the YMCA early days to when Matt Hearn, if you don't know, he started this church back in 2007, 2008, or 2007, January 2007. And then he passed away from cancer January of 21. But if you met Matt Hearn before he passed away, when he was standing in the lobby, he would immediately find a connection to you somehow. I'm from Illinois, right? Just south of Chicago. If somebody walks through the doors, he's never I don't know that he'd ever been to Illinois. But if somebody walks through the doors and he did not have some kind of connection with them, he would find one with somebody around him. He would build a bridge immediately. So if you come in and you're from Illinois, he would say, hey, where's Sam? Go get Sam. This guy's from Illinois. They may know each other. They need to meet. You know, it's preposterous. Like, hey, this is John. He's from Illinois. You know John? I'm like, no, I don't. There's like millions of people that live in Illinois. I don't know John. Right? This is what he would do. Oh, you've walked on grass before? I've walked on grass before. You know, like, oh, you're from Georgia? I'm from Georgia. Like, obviously, man, you know. But then he would remember that connection. He would remember your name, which was an uncanny ability that I do not possess. So, I'm sorry. I'm just getting to know my kids' names. Like, so leave me alone. I'm just kidding. I'm getting better. But he was a bridge builder. He was a bridge builder. And it wasn't inauthentic. He honestly cared about you. He honestly was happy that you were here. This is the culture that he created at Gateway. We are honestly happy that you're here. I don't care who you are. Even the people that don't vote. Like, we're honestly happy that you're here. It's not inauthentic. What Paul is doing here is not inauthentic. He's building bridges so that he can win as many people as possible. Listen, this weekend, I was at a conference Thursday and Friday. I had to go up to Atlanta, and I met with, I don't know, 2,000 or 3,000 other pastors. And it was all pastors because it was the conference is called The Art of Preaching. And it was all about, I figured I'm a few years into this now. Let me figure out how I'm supposed to like craft a sermon and preach, right? Let me see what I'm supposed to be doing. And so I went to this pastor's conference. And while I'm there, I'm with pastors. And guess what? I can speak that language. I can relate. When they say words like hermeneutics and homiletics and I don't know what they mean, but I know what they're talking about. Like I can pretend, right? When I say, oh, I excrapulate this, I'm like, oh yeah, dude, I get that. Totally, yeah, I do that all the time, you know? Because I can relate, right? Now, it's not my favorite group to relate with, but I can do it, right? We don't all agree either. But even though we're all pastors, but I can relate, we can build bridges. I'm not trying to brag, but I did get a phone number this week while I was there. So let me tell you about how great God is just for a second, okay? Because this is, for some reason, important. I was there, and I run into a pastor that I met a few years ago. And it was in 2020 when another pastor called us together, and he was like, hey, it's 2020. Nobody knows what's going on. Let's get a bunch of pastors together, and let's try to figure out what's happening, right? And so I met with this group of pastors. Well, one of those guys was there at the conference. And that's all that I knew of. I just knew him from that meeting. And he was asking me, this was in 2020 before Matt had passed away, and he said, hey, how's Matt doing? What's going on with the church? That kind of stuff. And I said, well, he passed away, and you know, now I'm the pastor here at the church, and you know, kind of just gave him a quick little update. Well, I'm sitting right next to a guy who says, hey, I'm sorry, I didn't mean to interrupt, but did I just hear that your pastor at the church had been there for like 14 years, passed away, and you took over? And I said, yeah. And he's like, man, the church that I'm serving right now, the pastor had served for 16 years, and he passed away in June of 21. And now I'm taking over. And so we shared numbers because we're like, he's like, I've never met another person who this has happened to, and we need to talk. If nothing else, that misery loves company. You know, like, he's like, my plan was not to be a pastor. He's like, I was on staff at the church. He was doing music for him. But he said, this was not my plan. And I was like, yeah, me too. And so I got his number, and we're going to talk, and we're going to figure it out. I go, okay, what are you doing? How are you navigating through this? How are you doing? You know, those kinds of things. It was an amazing connection at this place. How cool, right? But what I'm saying is this. Listen, God does stuff like that when you are where you're supposed to be, doing what you're supposed to be doing. Right? And I'm going to bring it back to that in just a second. But here's my point. I can fit in and make relationships and build bridges with people all over the place, no matter what group that I'm in. I used to be in construction, and I know words like hammer and screwdriver and nails, and you know, like I can speak the language. I can even speak a little bit of Spanish, because a lot of the guys that I worked with were Spanish. I'm not going to say it on camera. But I can relate with a lot of groups of different people, right? I can speak German. I have two phrases. Ich liebe dich. It's beautiful, isn't it? It means I love you. I learned the important stuff in the languages, guys. But I can connect. So when if I meet with a German person, guess what I do? Ich liebe dich. Right? And if you speak Portuguese, beleza. Is there anybody Portuguese? Anybody Portuguese here? Nobody? Nobody's from Brazil? Or that's like, I don't even know what it means, but they get so happy when you say it. It's just like a super cool greeting. Right? I wanna learn. I want to experience things so that I can relate with people. Why? So that I can win as many as possible to Christ. That is why I exist. To win as many as possible. I need to move on. That was not what I was supposed to be talking about. Why? Verse number 23. I do all this for the sake of the gospel. I do all this for the sake that I may share in its blessings. That is Paul's singular focus. I want it to be my singular focus. I want it to be all of our singular focus if we call ourselves Christ followers. Paul was so focused on telling as many people possible that Jesus and his death and his resurrection is freedom, is life. That's it. That was his job. That's why he existed. Even when he was locked away in prison, he was writing letters. He was encouraging people. He was trying to help people do this better. Nothing stopped him. That is why he existed. He had a singular focus to preach the gospel, the good news of Jesus Christ. And I love this because, you know, at this conference that I went to, there were, I don't know if you've heard of these people before, if you're pastors or maybe even worship leaders, or if you're in the church world, you know, on staff probably, you've heard of some people like Louis Giglio. He was one of the speakers at this conference. Matt Chandler was there. Craig Rochelle was there. This guy named Levi Lusco was there. These are all people that, you know, they've written books. And so if you're in the church world, you're reading their books and you're trying to figure out how do we do this better and that, you know, that kind of stuff, right? And so one of the breakouts that we were there, I was actually speaking with the pastor who his pastor had passed away. And so we're connecting and we were talking about what we've experienced, right? And there's this line forming in front of me. People are getting their picture taken with Levi Lusco. This guy who's a pastor out in like, I don't know, Oklahoma or something. He wrote a book. And so he's kind of like a Christian celebrity, you know? For me, it'd be like if Brad Pitt was there. I'd stand in line for Brad Pitt, you know? But this is what was happening in front of me, is they were kind of, he's kind of a celebrity in the church world, right? And this was happening in Corinth. The people of this church that Paul had planted, they were having these conversations. Oh, how cool is it? I was baptized when Paul was here. Remember last year when Paul was here and he started the church, he stuck around with us for a little while, he baptized me. It's kind of a big deal, right? And there were some others in this group that were like, well, you know, I was baptized by this guy, or I was baptized by this guy. And Paul, he gets wind of this. He's like, listen, you guys are losing your focus. You're losing your focus. And he says, and this is might just be for me, but this is funny. He says this in 1 Corinthians 1:14 through 17, I thank God that I did not baptize any of you except for Crispus and Gaius. And Paul's, I think, maybe a little like ADD too. He says, so no one can say that you were baptized in my name. Yes, okay, I also baptized the household of Stephanas, right? Beyond that, I don't remember if I baptized anyone else. And he's like, look, it's not that big of a deal, you guys. You're missing the point. I don't want you to think you were baptized in my name. This is all about Jesus, right? And he says, verse 17, for Christ did not send me to baptize, but to preach the gospel, not with wisdom and eloquence, lest the cross of Christ be emptied of his power. Listen to that. Not with wisdom or eloquence, lest the cross of Christ lose its power, be emptied of its power. Let me tell you what that means. He says, listen, I'm all for baptism. Baptism is important, but that is not what God called me to do. Surely I baptized some. I don't remember. Because I'm not focused on that. But he says, but I was here to preach the gospel. And he's like, and I didn't even like I wasn't there to convince you. I wasn't there with these crazy illustrations. I wasn't there with all of the side stories to just like what I do, you know. He's like, I didn't do all that stuff because the gospel is enough. He's like, I was there to preach the gospel of Christ. And he said, I didn't do it with all of this eloquence and all of this like I didn't try to wow you with my big words because it doesn't need it. The cross is powerful. Jesus sacrificed on the cross what he did for us, him living his perfect life, right? He was arrested, he was beaten, he was hung on the cross, he died, he was buried for 3 days, and then at the end of that 3 days, the stone was rolled away. Jesus Christ defeated death and sin, paid our penalty so that we could spend eternity with him worshiping God. And Paul is like, look, you guys are focused on the wrong thing. Look, this life right now, the scripture teaches, it's like a vapor. It's like dust in the wind. It is here and gone. But eternity, that's a long time. I don't think we've counted all the months yet, but it's a long time. But we get so focused on what is happening right now in our lives, and we take our focus off of Jesus Christ and what he has asked us to do as Christ followers. And this is what Paul is saying. He's like, look, it's the cross. We've got to get back to telling as many people as possible about Jesus Christ. And this is what Paul is doing. One focus, preach the gospel. He says, I do all of this for the sake of the gospel. I'm pointing people to the cross. And this is good. It's fine. It's good for Paul. What about me? Right? This is not going to go up on the screen. But I found this scripture, and I wanted to read it to you because I love this. 1 Corinthians 2, 1 through 5. If you want to look it up later, here's what it says. When I came to you, I did not come with eloquence or human wisdom as I proclaimed to you the testimony about God. For I resolved to know nothing while I was with you except Jesus Christ and him crucified. Again, he comes back at it in chapter number 2. I came to you in weakness and with great fear and trembling. My message and my preaching were not with wise and persuasive words, but with a demonstration of the Spirit's power so that your faith might not rest on human wisdom, but on God's power. What does this mean for me? I love this, but how do I apply this to my life, right? Here's what it is. For all of us, this power, the power of the cross that he's talking about, is what works through us. So as Christ followers, we've accepted Christ. We have the Holy Spirit in us. And now we go to our workplace, to our neighborhoods, to the grocery store, to wherever we are, looking for opportunities to invest in and invite people into a growing relationship with Jesus Christ. But man, I feel unprepared for this. I don't feel like I know enough to do these things. I don't feel like, who am I? Like, I don't know the Bible. I can't teach. I don't know the stuff. But here's what Paul says. Listen, I didn't use anything, any of my education. Here's what I learned. Here's what I used. My experience with Jesus Christ. Here's what I know. Jesus Christ died for me, was buried, and rose again for my salvation. That's what I know. And so I'm going to tell people the cross. And how do I have the confidence to tell people about the cross? Here's how I know. Because with 3,000 pastors in a room, this is just the latest thing that happened to me. With 3,000 pastors in a room, I sat next to the one guy who his pastor passed away, who had been in his church for 16 years, who has no idea what he's doing, who this is not his plan for his life. But God sat me next to this dude. So I don't need education and all this stuff. And, you know, like I'm bettering myself all the time, but I don't need that because the cross is powerful. I don't need to convince people about the cross because it's not my job. Listen, here's what it says. It's not what he says. This is what I wrote down. It is not our responsibility to save people. It is our responsibility to tell them. It's our responsibility to tell them. We cannot forget this. And what does that mean to us? Just be normal. Like, where are you? At the restaurant. Be normal. Be yourself. Thank you, Christian. He's so loud, we can all hear him. Just who has God created you to be? What gifts and abilities do you have? Paul was using his gifts, his abilities. He was living into what God was calling him to do. What is God calling you to do? You're like, I don't know. I don't know. Well, let's start with this. What are your gifts and abilities? I don't really know. Okay, let's start with this. Where are you? I'm not like, not right now. Well, where do you live in your neighborhood? Where do you work? Where do you shop? Where are you? Get your head up and look for opportunities to love people by making yourself a servant to all, by making yourself relatable, by building bridges, by serving others, loving others, just as God through Christ Jesus has loved us. His last encouragement, his last directive to us, go and make disciples, should be our first priority, our only focus. I live, I breathe, I am who I am, I live where I live, I do what I do to win as many as possible for the gospel. That's why I do everything that I do. Well, that's big. But what that doesn't mean is this. Okay, I gotta be a weirdo. No, it doesn't. You be who you are, who God has created you to be. He has put you where you are on purpose for a purpose. And we live there and we live like God wants us to do. Because listen, you are not Paul. You are not Sam. God has gifted you for a reason. So what is it? Paul showed this church in Corinth what he was doing and how he was living into God's will for his life, his methods. That was his calling. What is yours? We are in a war. What is your position? Maybe a better way to say that. You know, a long time ago, if you went to Gateway 101, boogie back, YMCA, maybe even at the school, with Matt Hearn, he would talk about how Gateway is a battleship. You might be coming in here thinking it's a cruise ship. You might be coming in here, where's my lounge chair and my drink with my umbrella? Listen, Gateway Church, what's going to happen is we're going to go to war. Something's going to happen. We got to snap into position. And there's going to be people running all over the place. It's going to be chaos. And you're trying to sit in your little chair and drink your drink and enjoy your time. But we're at war. Gateway is not a cruise ship, it's a battleship. So what is your position? Maybe your position is standing at the front door, smiling. You know, what are my gifts and abilities? I can hold a door. Now, that's not easy. It takes some skill to hold the door. Some days are windy. You know, some days are rainy. I'm telling you. You know what else is difficult? Smiling. I can hold the door and I can smile. I can hold the door, but I can't smile. Okay, that's fine. We got a different position for you. There's a whole room of people behind me running the technology and the stuff. They don't smile. They're super anxious all the time. They're stressed out, right? Their projector's not working. They're like pulling their hair out. Like, we have a position for you if that's who you are. Don't worry about it. You know, I love babies. Okay, let's go teach the children over here about the love of Jesus Christ on their level. Oh my goodness. What a calling. You know, you might start with changing a diaper, which if that's yours, I don't have that skill, so I can't do it. I've tried, I just don't have the skill. I end up wrapped up and taped to myself, and it's a mess, so I don't do it. But other people have that gift, right? And love those babies, and you can change that diaper, and you can hold those babies, and you can pray for those babies. But be careful, because one day you might find that you have the gift or something that's being developed in you of teaching, and you end up in the elementary room over here or in the pre-K room over here, and you're sharing the gospel with children that are accepting Christ. And you wake up one day on Sunday morning, you're sitting here like, how did I get here? Like me. You know, I wake up one day, I'm standing up here on stage, and I'm talking to people, and I'm not throwing up all over the place. Like, how did I get here? Like, what in the world? This is not my plan for my life. But God had a plan for my life. God has a plan for your life. What is it? I don't know. What do I do? How do I find it out? Well, this week, let's think about it. Where are my gifts? Where are my abilities? And you know what? Some of us are living in so much chaos and noise and distraction, and we've been just, you know, out of it for maybe a long time, and we don't even know. This takes a lot of boldness, but ask somebody, what do you see in me? Ask somebody that knows you. Parents, ask your kids. Oh, no, don't do that. Ask your spouse. Ask a friend. What do you see in me? Where are my gifts? What do you feel like I should be doing? How should I be serving? Like, let's start that conversation. Because I don't know. I don't know where I fit. Put it on a connection card. In a little bit, we're going to take the offering, and you're going to put those connection cards in the offering basket. Put it on a connection card, and we'll have a conversation. And we'll figure it out. And you know what? We might place you at the front door, greeting and smiling, and find out that it's just not for you. We'll put you somewhere else. It's okay. We'll figure it out. It's okay. But here's what I know. Our focus has got to be winning as many as possible by building bridges. And here's what it says. Here's what it says in this culture war. Using our gifts and our abilities to win the world for Christ, one person at a time. Matthew 5:14, this is what Jesus says. You are the light of the world. You are the light of the world. A town built on the hill cannot be hidden. Listen, I went to Mexico when I was in seventh grade. The first time I ever went to Mexico, the first time I ever went out of the States, first time I ever really saw poverty. And I was sitting on the stairs of this little compound that we were staying in. And looking out, you could see the mountains. And you could see, you've seen the movies with the shacks stacked on top of each other up the mountain. They were lit because people were living. So there was light. You can't hide it. There were mountains filled with people. And where people are, there's light. This is what Jesus is saying here. A town built on a hill cannot be hidden. You can't shut that off. You can't hide it. It's there. Neither do people light a lamp and put it under a bowl. Instead, they put it on a stand, and it gives light to everyone in the house. In the same way, let your light shine before others, that they may see your good deeds and glorify your Father in heaven. That phrase got me. In the same way. That phrase got me. And I was like, what is that? In the same way. A city on a hill is naturally going to light. Right? That lamp, when you turn the light on in your house, it is going to light the room. It's natural. It's just how it works. You don't turn the lights on in your room, except for every once in a while when a light bulb blows or something, but you don't turn the lights on in the room and wonder what's going to happen. Right? It makes sense. It is naturally going to come on and light up the room. It says, in the same way, let your light shine. So what is natural to you, if you are a Christ follower, you have a light inside of you. And he has gifted you. You have experiences. You can relate and build bridges where other people can't. And so what is natural to you, do it. Now, you could put it under a bowl. You could hide it. You could just sit there, come in, sit on your lounge chair with your drink and enjoy and take it in and listen. But scripture tells us that, man, that is dead. What's the point? We have this light in us, and we're in the middle of a war. Let your light shine. In the same way, naturally. Don't be weird. Don't try to be me. This is why I think a lot of people don't do this, because they can't do it like I do it. And I do it the best. I agree. No. Don't try to be the person next to you. Don't try to be something you've seen on TV. Don't try to be anything else other than who God has created you to be, because God has fearfully and wonderfully made you. Just how you are. Just how you are. Let your light shine in the same way. What is natural to you, how you have been gifted, your experiences that you've had. Well, they've been really bad experiences. Yeah, guess what? God's going to work through that. God says, in all things, the good experiences, the bad experiences, my education, my gifts, my abilities, in all things, God works for the good of those who love him and are called according to his purpose. Now, let me tell you something. If you've had some bad experiences, you don't understand how much you can live that verse out and how much you have already experienced it until you take a step back and you just think about it for a little bit. Jesus said, we talked about this last week. He's standing at the door knocking. If you seek him, you will find him. God, show me what my thing is. Where is it? What am I supposed to be doing? How can I serve? How can I make myself a servant? What am I supposed to do so that I can be singularly focused? And my goal, my life, is living to win as many as possible. Because I'm focused on eternity and not just this life. That is how we win the culture war. By winning as many as possible, one person at a time. By making ourselves a servant. By serving others and building bridges. Serving others and building bridges. Listen, we're going to pick up here next week. Next week, we're going to look at some examples of where Jesus interacted with culture. How he treated culture. What was his tactics? What did he do? How did it work? What was the results? I haven't written it yet, so we'll see. Don't hold me to that. But that's where I think God's leading me right now. We're going to look at some practical examples of what this looks like. But first, we have to know, okay, this is who I'm supposed to be. Now I can go and do it. So come back next week. Don't miss next Sunday. Because we're going to look at that. But as we leave here, listen, the host team is going to come forward in just a minute. The worship team is going to sing, and we're going to worship God through music at the end of the service. But before then, I want this. I want you to write on your connection card today. You know what? Today, it kind of makes sense to me a little bit. I have questions, but I think I want to accept Christ as my Lord and Savior. I want to start this relationship with Jesus. Today is the day. Put that on your connection card. Write that down. Check that box and drop it in the basket or hand it to me. I'll be at the door at the end of the service. Because we want to reach out to you this week and just maybe you have a couple questions. We'd like to answer and help you start this journey. So if that's you today, I want to accept Christ for the first time. Write that down. Or maybe today, you know what? I'd like to have a conversation with somebody because I don't know. I don't really know where I fit. I don't know what my gifts or abilities are. I haven't really been able to identify that myself. Well, let's talk and let's figure it out. Maybe today you just want to come forward and you want to pray with somebody. You want to pray with somebody about something totally different that's going on in your life or something that's going on because of this sermon. Come forward. The prayer team will be to the right and the left of the stage. We're going to come forward. The host team is going to come forward. We're going to take the offering in just a minute. But listen, something that we say, this little phrase, all the time, don't do nothing. It's on our t-shirts that we're selling out in the lobby for missions. Right? Little plug. Go get a t-shirt and have it a reminder. It says, hashtag don't do nothing. Whatever you do today, we all know, what's God's will for my life? Here's what God's will for your life is. Go make disciples. If you are a Christ follower, he is calling you to go and make disciples. No question. The only question is, okay, what does it look like? How do I do that? Well, let's find out. Let's be intentional about finding out what that looks like in my life and with my gifts and my abilities. So don't leave today without taking a step in that direction. Let's pray. God, we thank you for who you are and for this reminder today that you have a calling, you have a plan for each and every one of us. God, it's not weird. It's not selling everything. It's not getting on a corner and with a bullhorn and preaching hell and fire and brimstone and all the things to people. No, it's God, in the same way. where you have planted me, where you have me, in my job, in my house, in my neighborhood, in grocery stores, where I live. How can I invest in people? How can I build bridges, serve people so that I can win as many as possible? Thank you, God, for this reminder for me this week. I pray, Lord, that you give us the boldness to take that step, to figure that out for us. For us, each individual here. In your name I pray. Amen.